So in the text, Lama Tsongkhapa first codes the various sources from which speak on this logic of dependent origination. There are two chief points of resistance that obstruct the correct view. So in this, independent existence in this context should be understood as objective existence. One is the reificatory view or absolutist view that has a fixed orientation to truth habits that hold to the truth status in things. So, through this syllogism of the dependent origination, which goes as the phenomena lacks true existence because that is dependent origination. So, through understanding the reasoning that is dependent origination, it gives you the understanding of the existence or origination. So this means that it stops you from the extreme of nihilism, because it says that it is dependent originated, which means that it is something existent. And then whereas in the predicate, so the predicate which says it lacks true existence, it saves you from the extreme of absolutism. So the two kind of obstacles in gaining proper understanding of emptiness would be the two extremes, the extreme of nihilism and the extreme of absolutism or reification. So the one which says that there is nothing existent at all, and the other holding to the idea of the extreme, the other side of the extreme, which says that everything does exist intrinsically or absolutely. And this understanding of dependent origination has the power to overcome both kinds of obstacles to understand the proper emptiness. Because of the understanding of the dependent origination, it saves us from the extreme of nihilism, because it gives you the understanding that thing should be existent. It is not at all non-existent, because it is originated, it is dependent originated. Whereas when you say it lacks true existence, it gives you the implication that it does not, it has no intrinsic absolute existence, thereby helping us save from the extreme of absolutism. So, in terms of the dependent origination, it should be understood in various levels. So the first kind stated here is the dependent origination in terms of the composite phenomena. So which is actually accepted by all different Buddhist school of thoughts. So here, it should be understood in a way that as long as something is a resultant state, it should be dependent on its cause. As such, it gives you the connotation that the very result is by the power. The very arousal of the result is by the power of the cause. As such, it is other-powered or has no independent power. So this is the explanation or the interpretation of the dependent origination at the level of causality, at the level of composite phenomena. And whereas the second kind is the dependent origination in relation to mere nomination, mere designation. So that is the subtler of the two. So because we say that that thing comes about through by way of dependent origination, by way of dependence on designation on some other basis, it tells you that it has no absolute existence. Its mode of existence by way of dependence on other factors. And if you say that the basis of designation and a thing to be designated, if these two are the same, then you have to accept the flaw that the one to be designated and the one the basis of designation are the same. So this is actually untenable. And also, it is because that the object to be designated is not findable among the basis of designation. It is because of this that the basis of the object to be designated comes about only by way of designation. Only by way of designation. As such, this very mode of existence is by way of nomination, designation, imputation, and not by way of objective existence. So, and then the third kind of dependent origination is the dependent origination by way of dependence on mere the nominality. And the second one is the dependent origination by way of dependence on other factors on a basis of designation. And the third one is the dependent origination by way of dependence on the mere nomination, on the mere nominating agent, on the labels. So let me say the three dependent origination once again. Dependent origination by way of dependence on causes and conditions. And the second one, dependent origination by way of dependence on the basis of designation. And the third, dependent origination by way of dependence on labels and thoughts. Three, the third one is the subtlest. Ultimate understanding of emptiness has to be done in relation to the dependent origination based on the third kind. Dependent origination based on the labels and thoughts. So next, it says, and next is how the above reasonings prove the emptiness of the uncomposite phenomena. So it says that just as the composite phenomena is non-existent, how can the uncomposite or the non-composite phenomena exist, which implies exists inherently or truly? And then next, Lama Tsongkhapa tries to make the clarification distinguish between the various sources, which is about the various levels of emptinesses. So when we establish any concept of emptiness, so it should be some kind of emptiness or the ultimate reality of a specific phenomena. So next is a presentation of the two realities, ultimate reality and the conventional reality. So whenever you establish emptiness, so it must have some kind of basis upon which this emptiness is established. So that basis, so the kind of reason that we employ as to establish the emptiness of that basis is that this basis qualifies the characteristic of dependent origination. So that aspect of the dependent origination of the basis is called the conventional reality. So that conventional reality is the kind of the reality which is there with the basis or with the object perceptible to the unanalyzing, to the cognition or the mind, which is unanalyzing in nature, which is the nature of unanalyzing the reality. So it is just a kind of conventional mind. And whereas through employing the reason of dependent origination, when you then understand as to how this the basis lacks true existence, so that is the ultimate reality, so which is found by the valid mind, which establishes the ultimate reality. So that the emptiness is the ultimate reality, and the dependent origination aspect, it is the conventional reality of the same thing. So from that perspective, we see that the two realities is something applicable to everything that you can think of in the entire universe. And then the two kinds of the truths of the same basis has to be understood as nominally distinct and yet same in terms of entity, having the same entity and yet nominally distinct. So next is the etymology of the two realities. So the conventional reality, the convention here, should be understood as that the self-grasping mind. So something which is true in the eyes of the self-grasping mind is called as a conventional reality. But you should not get confused with the definition of conventional reality. So this is just the mere etymology of conventional reality. And then the ultimate reality, something which is true in the eyes of that mind which analyzes the ultimate. So as to present how the two truths are nominally distinct and are same entity-wise, so they are then posited or four reasonings in support of each of these two positions. So we're not supposed to think of these two truths of the same basis as two distinct entities, rather should be understood as the two sides of the same coin. So then the definition of the two truths. So then in the text, it says that if you take this sprout as an example, so the same sprout can be actually perceived by two different valid minds. So the one mind which analyzes the ultimate nature of the sprout, and the other mind which simply analyzes conventional aspect of the sprout. So that thing, those qualities of things which is found by the conventional mind is called as conventional reality, and that which is found or cognized by the mind analyzing the ultimate is defined as it is the definition of the ultimate reality. So in support of the definition so given here, Lama Tsongkhapa then cites Supplement to the Middle Way by Chandrakirti with regard to the definition of the two truths. So in terms of the categories of the division, so divisions, so it is said that with the conventional reality, so from the perspective of the position of the Madhyamika or the Prasangika, so there is no classification of the conventional reality. But then from the same treatise, from the perspective of the same tenet, Prasangika, so it speaks about how the conventional reality is divided into two in relation from the point of view of the ordinary perception. So it is classified as the conventional reality of the valid conventional reality and the deceptive conventional reality. So this division is made in from the point of view of the ordinary perception as opposed to the madhyamika perception.